You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
There were so many times I was so confused as to actually what was going on. Because
it's probably one of the plays, oh my word.
You know, it's written in 15th, 16th century English, right? Mm. And for me, reading Shakespeare in high school, it was so difficult that I would have to get the Cliff Notes. Remember the Cliff Notes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just, okay, I know what the plot line is. Let's see what these words...
Hamlet.
Let's see what these words are actually a meaning in my culture. But when we come to the Bible, I find that God always speaks to mankind in a way that they can understand. God jumps across this barrier, this cultural barrier. Now, isn't that a comforting thought?
It is.
That we look in the Bible and we see God speaking to the characters in ways that they would understand. And that tells me that he's going to speak to me in ways that I understand. And both of us are dealing with issues right now of various relational, health, financial. We all are at some point dealing with these issues, and we're asking God for wisdom. And then God speaks to us in a way that suddenly we know it's him speaking, right?
I love it when he speaks.
Yeah. So for us to really get an understanding as we open the Bible, we have to kind of step back and understand the cultural setting. And I want to talk about one example today is Abraham, because in Genesis 15, we see God making a promise to Abraham and Abraham's faithful response, okay? Mm-hmm. Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations, many people. Your children will be so many. Look at the stars. They will be so many that they will, you can't even count them. And verse 6 of chapter 15 says, and Abram believed God, and God reckoned to him as righteousness. Here's how the text reads. God took Abram outside and said, now look to the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And then Abram believed in the Lord, and he reckoned to him as righteousness. And he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land and to possess it. And now Abram asks a question. O Lord, how may I know that I will possess it? So he said to him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old female goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, a young pigeon. And he brought all these to him and cut them in two and lay them half opposite each other, but he did not cut the birds. Now, this is already getting weird to me. Hmm. The birds of the prey came down upon the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. Now, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And behold, terror and great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abram, as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You'll be buried at a good old age. And it came about when the sun had set that it was very dark. And behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a flaming torch which passed between these pieces. Now, what a bizarre scene this is. What is going on here? Okay. You cut animals in half and spread them out on the ground? Really? There's got to be something more to this story. Because what did this split carcasses have for the people of Abram's time? Any ideas? Any thoughts on that?
Mm-mm. One thing is
obvious. I mean, the question is, God, how am I going to know these promises are true? Mm. And Abram said, and God says, I'm going to show you. Get me these animals, cut them up, spread them out, split their carcasses. And Abram's, okay, I'm doing that. And he's watching. It gets very dark. And all of a sudden, he sees a flame or what's described as some sort of box with flame passing between the split carcasses.
Mm.
And Abram knows that God is going to honor his pledge, okay? So what's the significance of split carcasses? Well, we get a clue to the meaning of this seemingly strange practice from Jeremiah chapter 34. And listen to what God says to the through the prophet Jeremiah. I will give the men who have transgressed my covenant, who have not fulfilled the words of the covenant which they made before me, when they cut the calf in two and passed between its parts. The officials of Judah and the officials of Jerusalem, the court officers and the priests and all the people of the land who pass between the parts of the calf. I will give them into the hand of their enemies, into the hand of those who seek their life, and their dead bodies will be food for the birds of the sky and beasts of the earth. Jeremiah is explaining in those days that businessmen, politicians, and friends, they made pacts, they made covenants by cutting animals half in half, walking together through the split carcasses, pausing in the middle, looking at each other and say, if I don't keep my end of the deal, may I become like this dead animal. Because there were no city clerks or there were no notary publics at the time, but these covenants had to be made in some manner. So imagine you decide to sell me a piece of land, and we agree on the price. Mm-hmm. Okay, the way that we would seal the deal...
I give you my shoe, that then?
No. We would cut an animal in half.
Oh, really?
We would spread it out on the ground. You and I would walk and together and stop between that split carcass. I would look at you and I'd say, Red, if I don't uphold my end of this bargain, may I be as this animal.
Whoa.
And you would say, Mike, if I don't uphold my end, may I be as this animal. And then we would walk through and the deal would be made.
It's a severe handshake.
It is a severe handshake. So what caused Abram to believe God in this one? Now, remember the scene. Abram's sitting, and he's after he split the carcasses, he's keeping the birds away, okay, from eating them. And then suddenly he sees this flame, this oven box of flame or something, passing between the carcasses. It's God passing between the carcasses.
Oh.
Okay?
Oh.
And Abram...
making covenant.
With Abram. And Abram knew that it was God passing through. And he knew that even if he didn't keep his end of the bargain, God was going to keep his.
Yeah.
See? This was a very meaningful moment for Abram. It changed his life. It caused him to be a great man of faith. But to us reading this account in the 21st century, we go, what the heck was going on?
Seems bizarre.
It seems bizarre, okay? So the question here is, well, how did biblical Jews and Greeks think? Okay, how did they think? Well, one distinct manner is function versus form. Now, Rhett, you got a nice coffee cup here. I'm going to hold it up to you. Describe to me what this coffee cup, what is it? Describe it to me.
I don't know what you're looking for. It's got some multiple colors on the outside. It's black in its interior with a white bottom.
Okay.
And it's small.
Okay, it's small. Okay, so you have given me a form description. You've told me what it looks like,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if I'm a biblical Jew, you know how I would describe this? I would say, with this, I drink my coffee. I describe it in terms of function.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Greeks think in terms of form. Jews think in terms of function. Okay?
Now we know that I'm Greek and not Jewish.
Well, it's kind of a thing. Okay. So the Greek's going to tell you the color, as you did, the
yep.
shape, which is exactly what you did.
Yeah.
What it looks like. But the Jew's going to say, with this, I drink my coffee. Greeks think in terms of how it appears. Jews think in terms of what it does.
Hence, that's why the Greeks are visual artists, right?
Yeah. So this is a super helpful principle to understand when you come to a very particularly confusing passage of Scripture found in the Song of Songs. And here the writer's describing his beloved by describing her belly or her body. And when he gets to this verse 2 in chapter 7, he says, your belly is like a heap of wheat fenced about by lilies. Now, Rhett, if you said that to Barbara, your belly is as a heap of wheat,
yeah.
Would she smile and put her arms out and give you a big hug? No, she probably wouldn't, okay?
Well, the wheat stands for harvest.
Well, we're wheat thinkers. I want you to think, okay? Okay. Your belly is as a heap of wheat. Okay, what's he describing? What comes from the belly of a woman, of your beloved?
A baby.
Okay. So
he's bringing them in.
He's
bringing them in by his glory. He's bringing them in. He's bringing them in. He's bringing them in.
Cops on the beat, homeless on the street, corrupt bankers running from the heat, moms and dads, drunks on gin, empty politicians, he's bringing them in.
He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory. He's bringing them in by spirit, by unfolding his holy story. It is him who's bringing them in, wiping their slate, cleansing their sin. He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory.
Wall Street kings, Alaskan lumberjacks, hot dog vendors and big fat cats, rock stars and fancy cars, pornographic queens, orthopedic surgeons, people with broken dreams.
He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory. He's bringing them in by spirit, by unfolding his holy story. It's the time, it is the hour, to walk the walk and live his glory. It's the time, it is the hour, to unfold his holy story. It is him who's bringing them in, wiping their slate, cleansing their sin. It is him who's bringing them in, wiping their slate, cleansing their sin.
The harvest is white, the workers they are few, is the voice of the Lord God Almighty calling to you.
He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory. It is the time, this is the hour. Tell the world his holy story. He's bringing them in by his power. He's bringing them in by his glory. He's bringing them in by his spirit.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.